You have your Bibles. We're on part three of building up. Building up. We are called to build up. We build up in the body of Christ. That's a good thing, you know. Build up. We're reading out Galatians 5, 7 through 15. It says, you were running the race so well, who has held you back from following the truth? Now, if you just back up a little bit, you don't have to, Diana, but you back up. It says faith expressing itself through love, basically. Faith works by love. If you want to check out your faith and how it's doing, you got to check up on your love walk. God, my faith is how I'm just not getting any results. What? Check back up on your love walk and how you're treating others. That's how you'll determine your faith and how strong it is. Because faith doesn't work any ill. Quiet here. God is going off of your faith. He's going off of what he knows, what he's given you. He has given everyone the measure of faith. He's going off of that. Faith is what activates this thing in your life. So if we can't bring those things that Jesus has already given us, freely given us, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and we're not receiving that, it's because our faith, our love walk is messed up somewhere. There's a disconnection. And we might be thinking we're loving somebody. You can't love bomb people and thinking that it's going to be okay. God knows the difference because he knows our heart, right? So he knows on whether or not we're going to be operating in faith. He knows whether or not we're being fake and real with people. He knows those types of things, which is why it's so good, because even when we're messing up, he says, hey, just straighten that out right there. Tighten up this, your love walk. Oh, God, I don't want to. No, it's so that he can continue to do these things in your life so you could be a blessing to other people. There's people who need your prayers. There's people who need you to come and share the gospel with them. There's people who need deliverance. Wherever it's at, you know, deliverance doesn't, well, it's just in the church. It's just on Sunday morning. We just do deliverance on Sunday mornings. No. That's 7 days a week. 24/7, 365, you can do it. But people need that in your life, in their life. So they need you to be on point. They need you to get your love walk right. God needs you to get your love walk right. We all need to get it. You were running the race so well, who has held you back from following the truth? Think on that. People, the church of Galatia was doing so well, and someone came and sowed some evil teaching, erroneous teaching. They were doing great, and someone came and, you know, needs to be circumcised in order to receive salvation. No, you don't. You don't need works. You are saved by grace through faith. This is what he's telling them. It's not by works that any man should boast. You can do all the good works that you want to do, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't accept and receive what Jesus has done for you. You have to confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says you shall be saved. You can't do that by your works. But since once you've done that, now your works should be good. People shy away from good works. Good works is in the Bible, but it's not to obtain salvation. You do it because you know Jesus, because you put your faith in Jesus, because you believe in him. That's the way your works should be. Who has held you back? There is people who will hold you back. The enemy will hold you back. If he can sow some doubt in you, he will hold you back. God is not trying to do this in your life, but yet God has already revealed these things. Sometimes it's okay to look back at what God has done for you to realize he hasn't changed, not one bit. Lord, you did it here. You did it for them. You're not a respecter of persons. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've always been Jehovah Rapha. You've always been Jehovah Jireh. You've always been that. You've never changed. So why am I hearing this stuff? Why is the enemy planting these things in my mind? He's trying to deceive you. He doesn't want you to flourish in the things of God. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. Salvation can only come by one way. And it's not what you can do for him, but it's what he's done for you. God will never have you to stop obeying him and obeying his word. He'll never deter you from that. We had listened to a guy who was, he was speaking Wednesday night. Sometimes we watch videos and stuff. Well, not sometimes. Mainly we watch videos. Let me rephrase that. But he was talking about some guy had told him, the Lord had told me not to read, you know, read my Bible for 8 years or something like that. It's like, wait a minute. That wasn't God. So he can get some newfound revelation. That wasn't God. God will never have you deter from the word, ever. Matter of fact, get more in it. Get in it. There's something that he wants to show you. There's something that he wants to reveal to you. Spend more time in it. And it's not so, and again, you can spend all your time in the word and then somebody will come and say, well, you're just doing that just because you're just trying to be good for God. No. If they come and say that, you know why you're doing it. You don't have to sit there and argue with them. You don't have to explain yourself to people who are set on misunderstanding you. You know why you're reading this. Because this is the way you know the Lord. And to know God and to know the Father is eternal life. So this is why you spend time in his word. To know him. To understand him. So that you're not taught something that is contrary to what Jesus has already established in his word. Verse 9, it says, these false teachings is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I don't know too much about baking, but I do know if you want your bread to rise, you have to put some yeast in it, right? But in a church, if you want to sow strife and cause division, all you have to do is just sow a little bit and it'll grow. God's word is uncompromised, but sometimes man can come in, the enemy can come in and compromise it. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch. It can destroy whole churches, whole denominations, and things of that nature. Well, our denomination believes this. Well, that was some little bit of leaven, little bit of yeast right there. Because the Bible still preaches on this. The Bible still talks about tongues. The Bible says, do not forbid in Acts 14:39 in speaking in tongues. But you forbade it in your church. Why? A little yeast. Well, we just don't understand it. Well, then say that and then get understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. You don't mind getting knowledge. You don't mind getting wisdom. You don't mind getting more money. You don't mind getting more projects done. You don't mind doing a whole lot of other things and bringing all these programs in, but in all you're getting, get understanding. If you don't understand the things of God spiritually, get understanding. There's a lot of teaching on it. People who have done it already before you, gone before you. God has showed them this revelation. All we have to do is take it and read it. We got books on tongues. We still got those, right? I don't understand tongues. Brother Hagin, he's got them. So that you will learn, so that you will grow spiritually, so you will understand, so you wouldn't have to go around asking, I just don't understand this. I just don't get it. And it's a little small book. You can read it in about 10 minutes. But your understanding will grow because of what God will show you through it. We cannot be ignorant anymore. Because we are without excuse. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he didn't have what we had. In a sense, he didn't have the New Testament written out. And for the most part, he wrote most of the New Testament. But when he was Saul, he was going around persecuting the church. He thought he was doing the right thing. And the thing is, he wasn't. We can't go around, oh, Lord, I didn't know I was persecuting the church. Yeah, you do. It's right here. We have it every single day. And the thing is that we are called to build one another up. Jesus says, this is how they'll know you are my disciples. You're what for each other? Love. Oh, I didn't know, Lord. You can't play dumb with God. You can play dumb with people. You can't play dumb with God because he'll call you on it. See, that's why people don't confess their sin to God. They go to other people because you can manipulate people and then feel better about yourself, water it down. And you can do that, but you can't do it with God because the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're still a son and daughter. He'll convict you of it. And so some people want to bypass that conviction. No, it's still weighing on it. It's still beating on it. I said, Jesus will stand there at the door of your heart. Will you just let me in? Why? Because God won't ever force anything on you. Faith works by love. It says this false teaching is like little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. Verse 10. It says, I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. No need for payback. They taught the wrong thing. No need for payback. God will judge them. God will get them back. Don't worry about it. No, don't you dare go and plot. Keep yourself in love. Keep yourself in love. No need for payback. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, for I will repay. You don't have to worry about that. Don't spend another waking moment plotting against your neighbor to try to get back at them and what they did to you. Don't lose any sleep over it. It's not worth it. Because all you're going to end up doing is just bringing judgment upon yourself. Some people, listen, I do. God's ways is here. Man's ways is here. And man will always try to contend against God. That's why I don't ever fear man's judgment. The Bible says, do not judge lest you yourself be judged. Okay? That means, but God wants us to judge righteously within the body of Christ. That's why you should get both sides. Even Proverbs 18:17 says there's two sides to every story, but the first one to plead their case will always seem right until their neighbor comes and sets the record straight. That's why I talk about the plaintiff and defendant. What? You got to have both sides of the story before you judge, because you're going to end up reaping that judgment upon yourself. I'm trying to help some people out. This is how I know there's so many false prophets in the body of Christ. Why? Because they'll talk about stuff that they don't know. God didn't give it to them. It don't matter if you're sitting on a stool, standing next to a statue, sitting at the end of the stage, and you're trying to give a word. It doesn't matter. If it didn't come from God, people don't have to fear that. I'm reminded of the prophet Nathan when he went and was told what David had transgressed. In 2 Samuel 12, you don't have to put that up. First verse, it says, and the Lord sent Nathan to tell David a story. And y'all know the story, right? See, the Lord sent. Most people who are getting up trying to judge, you know what they do? They just get it from person to person, and then they judge. What do I say? From man to man to the people is what? Powerless. But from God to Nathan to David, that's powerful. From God to you, to the people, powerful. Get it from the Lord. And there's people who will try to duplicate that, but it's not from God. God didn't say it. God is not trying to judge that individual. Say it because God has sent you to say it, not because somebody is trying to get you to say it. What they're doing, they really don't care about you. Because you're going to end up reaping judgment upon yourself. And for the measure you use, it will be what? Measure right back to you. Trying to help you. Get it from the Lord. If the Lord sent you, you go all out. Don't try to convince somebody else to do what you're supposed to do. I used to try to convince my brother to ask my dad to see if it was okay for me to go out somewhere. Like, no. Because I didn't want to ask. He was good at lying. And my dad saw right through that. God can see right through us. That's why you don't ever fear man's judgment. I don't care if somebody judges. But make sure you get it right. I care. I've seen ministries get destroyed because they reap the judgment. David, After Nathan got through telling David that story, you know what? David said, and that man must die, and he's going to have to pay back four times. David reaped his own judgment. That's why you don't judge without getting all the information. Judge righteously is what God calls us to do, to judge righteously. Two sides. Two sides. Who did that one? What president? Richard Nixon? No, we don't know. There's two sides. Get the other side. Why? Because God wants you to judge righteously. What is it about? Is it about control or is it about restoring someone? Is it truly about love or is it about just getting what you want? Because God knows the difference. Because faith works by love. Correction works by love. The rebuke works by love. The teaching and the training, that works because of love. You do that. If a person is caught in sin, you who are spiritual, go and restore them gently, but beware that you are not snared yourselves. That's the purpose of it. So we go there with a humble spirit. And if we see that, let's help restore them. I'm not going to go and tell 50 other different people. Restore them gently. Hey, brother, come on. Let's go. Well, let's just go for a walk. And allow God to work in that situation. Verse 11. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, then why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. If Paul was actually doing these things, then why is his name still being slandered? The very people that was saying that he was doing these things was the very people that was persecuting them. It's a contradiction. Because if he was doing those things, he would never would have been offended. And here's the thing. And the only one who came against him when he was persecuting the church, Jesus. But when he was, oh man, go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Saul. Go ahead, Saul. Go ahead and do your thing. Go ahead and go into those homes and drag them out and what have you, just for believing in the name of Jesus. No one was stopping him but Jesus. Even the disciples were scared even after the fact that Paul had been converted. Because they thought he was coming after them. See, Paul's explaining himself. If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. And he's the very one who said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is salvation? What is the gospel of power unto salvation? God uses Paul and he uses people in a mighty, mighty way. Doesn't matter what man says. What matters is what God says. So they can lie on you. They can slander you. They could try to steal from you. They could try to hurt you. They could throw you in jail. They could do all these other things that they want to do to you. What matters is God's standards, because that's our higher way of living. Verse 12, it says, I just wish those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. Ooh, I'm so glad Paul said that, not me. But I can understand why Paul is like, I don't feel so bad after saying what I say. Look what he's saying, man. They cutting themselves off. They're telling you to cut themselves off. They need to cut themselves off. They're telling you to circumcise themselves. They need to circumcise. They need to be circumcised. They need to mutilate themselves. And Paul was speaking by the Holy Spirit. Do you not understand how powerful this is? What God cares about you, the gospel, which is just so pure. Somebody comes in and just gives you some wrong stuff. That's why teachers will be judged doubled. It's important to teach the right stuff. Well, we don't do that because our denomination. No. It's right here in the Bible. Come on, roll with it. Break the chains of denominations. If it's in a word, believe it. If God said it, that settles it. Right? That's the way we should be. But that's not how we are sometimes, because we can fillet this stuff up. We can buffet it all we want and just pick out the stuff that we like. But when our love walk ain't right, and then you start reading about love, and it's just like, okay, Lord, forgive me for that. Why? Because the Bible starts reading you. And you can't get away from that. Ooh, daily devotion popping up on phone. Oh, I don't want to read that. No, no, we're good. Are you submitted or are you just doing your own thing? Because here's the thing. It's going to cut you, but it's also going to heal you. It's going to help you. It's going to help you grow. God wants you to grow spiritually. False teachers don't want you to grow spiritually. The enemy doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He doesn't want you to mature. I just wish those troublemakers, listen, you could be a troublemaker for the kingdom of God, or you could be a troublemaker for the kingdom of darkness. I'd rather be a troublemaker for the kingdom of God. Because your only opposition is the devil. It's not us. I am not your enemy. I know I'm black. And I'm living in a German Catholic community for 26 years. On and off. I was here for a couple of years when I played in 97, so almost 30 years. About 28, maybe 29. But we are not each other's enemies. So we shouldn't treat each other that way. Love. The love walk is concerned. The love walk is not just your faith, but your love for one another. Now, if you're out there playing pickleball or something, we're not friends. I'm serious. I can't help that. I cannot help that. And then my body is like, dude, you're not 20 anymore. You know, you can't just stop. I just keep going. My thought was back here to stop, and I'm still, thank you, fence. But you're not each other's enemy. You're not your husband's enemy. You're not your wife's enemy. Although sometimes you may annoy each other. But you're on the same team. She's trying to take me up. No, you're on the same team. Pray for her. Pray for your wife. Love on her. I get on my wife's nerves sometimes, because I shower her with compliments. And she don't think I do enough around the house. Quit shaking your head. You're not supposed to. Just look straight. You're not supposed to agree with that. Wherever two or more, no. But you pray for your wife. Quit bad-mouthing her under your breath. Because the Lord hears that. She don't know how to cook. She's been trying to cook for 30 years, and I just, you know, I can make better. Then do it then. If you can cook better than your wife, cook. But quit griping and complaining about what she isn't doing. Your responsibility is to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Her responsibility is to submit. Submit. Wives, submit to your husband. That's the first thing. Well, he ain't. Submit. And we just be at each other. You don't have to be at each other's throats all the time. That's your best friend. Next to Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't want to make any more friends. I'm good. It's like you cool. You got your circle. You're good. I don't need any more. But the enemy loves nothing more than just to sow a little yeast. Cause some strife within your marriage, within your relationships, within your organizations, the places that you work, on your job, your little Bible study groups. They love nothing more than do that. You got to nip it in the bud. God loves you. And he wants you to grow spiritually. Verse 13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another." How? In love. In love. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. And later on down, and we're not going to get into that, but you'll see all the lusts of the flesh. There's about 15 of them. Whatever one is yours that the Lord is telling you, do away with it. You know which one's yours, if that's what you're operating in. Do away with it. There was years ago where I had, I preached in a message, it was in 2021, it's called Be Healed. But the last part of that message, I had a 30 questionnaire on whether or not somebody operates, we operate in like a Jezebel influence or what have you. And if you answer yes to it, well, then that could be something that you just pray. It was a self-evaluation, 30 questions. And I don't know if we still have that on there, but you can go back and listen, Lord. I said, why? Because it'll just check your heart. Because you know where you're at and God knows where you're at. And then what you do is you confess your sin to God. You ask the Lord to remove that out of your life. You thank him for removing it out of your life. And you continue to fill that stuff with the word of God in your life. It's not to sit there and say, well, Richard's got this. He's got that. I know this person got that. No, it's a self-evaluation. Examine yourselves. Where are you at? Examine it. Examine your heart. You know your motives. You know your motives better than someone. It's crazy when people think that they know me better than me. And I spend more time with me. I know what I like and what I don't like. I know why I do certain things. There's certain things that I do that are intentional. Partly because I want to see how many people are nosy. I never knew I can bother much people minding my own business. Like literally, I'm minding my own business and that bugs a lot of people. That's crazy. I'm bringing home my baby bumblebee. But don't use your freedom to live in your sinful desires. Grace is not a freedom to sin. It's a freedom to live from sin for what Jesus has done for you. But if you had missed it, thank God for his grace. You know, his word does say where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So even when you're trying to mess up, there's grace. He loves you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given it to you. Verse 14. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as. If you can't do that, then you're going to have to check up. Lord, what am I really dealing with? How come I can't love my neighbor? It's because you don't love yourself. Whatever trauma you went through as a child, I'm here to let you know, God wants to heal you of that. Whatever trauma you're going through, to where you just keep beating yourself up mentally, God wants to heal you of that. Matter of fact, he already has. You just have to receive it. And I'm here to let you know, if no one ever told you, it wasn't your fault. It was not your fault what was done to you. It was not your fault on how they did the things they chose to do to you, what they said about you, how they took advantage of you. It wasn't your fault. Just accept his grace, though, because he loves you. Love your neighbor. Because if there's a disconnect here, there's going to be a disconnect here with us. So you got to get this first. You got to get this tight and right so that you can be able to love other people the right way. No more faking it until we make it. Let's just make it because we're there, because he's already done it 2,000 years ago. We got to stop giving people a cheap knockoff version of what God has given us. As of lately, my wife been buying me some cheap knockoff cologne. Some of it. I don't like it. Long pause for dramatic effect. But what God has given you is real. The faith he's given you, that faith can move mountains. That faith can raise the dead. That faith can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. That faith can get people saved. The greatest miracle known to mankind is salvation. He didn't give you some knockoff stuff. He gave you the real thing. And he gave you the love. Love that covers a multitude of sins. That love. Love that conquers all. That love. Love that overcomes the evil. That love. That's what he gave you. You don't give somebody a knockoff version. I know some days is going to be hard. I've had those days too. But you don't give somebody a knockoff version of it. Don't give them a fugazi. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Strife will always come from false teachers. Bible says, if you have hatred in your heart towards another, that's the same as committing murder. Hatred stirs up strife. So if I were a false teacher, I would be trying to get Richard to go up against, let's see, Richard, R&R. And I would sow some seeds of discord here and seeds of discord over here and then try to get you two to go at each other. It doesn't matter if I'm standing up here. I'm teaching this behind the scenes. That's false teaching. People going at each other. This is why I'm talking about even when it comes to judgment. You got people who are going at other ministers, don't even know them. Why? Someone sows seeds of discord. Trace it back. Where'd you hear from? Because nobody just knows stuff. They're told stuff. Even if it comes from God, God tells you. You don't just know stuff. You're told stuff. So you got to trace it back. How did this person know about this person here? Well, if you can say, well, Pastor Tim told me. Which I never do. And I've never done that. Be instigating this. To see these two go at each other. But that's strife. There's no unity in the body of Christ. There's no harmony. It causes division. Because now you're mad at him, he's mad at you, and now your families could be arguing and fighting, and your friends, and so forth. It becomes bigger. You end up sowing strife. God doesn't want that. He says, beware of destroying one another. Stop backbiting one another. That's not what he called you to do. Can you imagine somebody trying to bite your back? That's nasty. People mostly don't wash their back. Why would you want to bite it? Just stand in the shower like this. It's deception from the enemy. Love without truth doesn't bring us together. There's no unity. And truth without love, it doesn't bring us together. There's no unity. God wants both truth and love. Truth and love will keep the church spiritually growing, while error and strife will shrivel up the church. Truth and love. So remember to keep yourself in love and continue in his word, because if he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Come on. Truth. His word is truth. And love. Not error and not in strife. People are sowing strife, nip it in the bud. They try to put you up against someone else. Well, so-and-so said, don't worry about it. I'm not worried about so-and-so. Don't care. Why? Because that's an opportunity for strife. Let me go at this person. Because that's kind of what we do with our competitive nature. Oh, I'm going to go right back at them. I would wait. When I was hooping, when I was in high school, I had my friends who would tell me, well, you know, so-and-so was saying this about you. I said, all right. I get around so-and-so. He wouldn't say anything. But when we get on the court, I remember what was said about me. And so sometimes I would take it out on so-and-so when I was on the court. But I knew one thing. So-and-so never said anything else, if they did. But see, the thing about it is, I didn't really know. That's why it's important to know. Just ask a question. That would diffuse a lot of things. Did you really say this? That would shut everything down. Nah, man. All right, cool. Shuts everything down. Just ask a question. Don't go with a narrative. Try not to tell a story based upon what you heard. Why? If the Lord didn't send you to say it, all you're going to do is end up reaping judgment upon yourself. I don't want that for you. Allow the Lord to tell you. And if the Lord says it, let her rip. And do it out of obedience. Because it's going to bless you, and it's going to bless them, more importantly. Do that out of obedience to God. Because somebody could be leading you down the wrong path to say something that God never told you to say, and it may not even be true. Some people know how to gossip sincerely. They know how to slander in the nicest way. But you walk in love. Find ways to continue to motivate one another, encourage one another, build each other up. How can you help somebody today? What can you do for them? Ask the Lord. What can you do for them? It may just be sitting down. I mean, some people might be lonely, and it could just be just sitting down, just chilling. Not even saying a word. It could be the best friend you ever have. Men don't need to talk. You know, women are addressed in the Bible about gossiping, not men. Men shouldn't be gossiping. That's weird. It's like women trying to transition into a woman. How come there are not a lot of women doing that and to get in sports for men? But there's always cowardly men doing that. Man, we don't gossip. If you can get 5 words out of me, you're doing something. Need tool time back on or something. Build each other up. I'm not a person that talks about my feelings and emotions. Never have been. So you won't ever see me on Oprah or any other talk show or any other podcast talking about my feelings and emotions. And I will restrain myself to do it from up here, too. I'm like a robot. I have very little emotion. Sometimes I'm fired up, but I'm fired up because I care about you. And I want the best for you, and I want God's best for you. So I don't like it when people go around being a troublemaker for the kingdom of darkness when they should be doing it for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for all your word, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. If there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior, never received what he's done for them, and they want to do that today for the first time, raise your hand. And if you're online, just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, today I make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for my sins. And your word says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So today, I make that declaration. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. And I thank you, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.